Welcome, everyone, to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and let's begin, as we do, by pausing whatever it is we may be doing, if there's anything else, turning away from the world without to turn toward the world within. Dropping into this moment where love is, where peace is, the now is the closest thing that we have to eternity in this world. So finding willingness within. Can be as small as a speck, just that tiny bit of willingness that we have, even if it's deep within, to see differently. A tiny willingness to allow our minds to be opened. For our awareness to expand. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And so we gladly place Spirit in charge right now. And taking a nice mindful breath in and out. And with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Oh, all right. So before we go over page references, I just want to mention that the Miracle Share 3-day virtual conference is next weekend. You can check it out at miracleshareconference.org, and there are tickets, scholarships, pay what you can options if anybody's interested. And I also want to bring it up to say that Deidre will be facilitating the call next week, and thank you so much, Deidre. I'll be, you know, running the conference all day, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I realized earlier that I'm just going to be probably pretty wiped out by 8 o'clock next week. So Deidre will be facilitating the call next week. So thank you. Thank you again, Deidre. Okay, so in the Sparkle Edition, we're on page 366. It is the very last paragraph on the page. It begins with the sentence, "The illusion of the autonomy of the body." In the original edition by Course in Miracles Society, it is chapter 15, part 8, paragraph number 76, also begins with the same sentence, "The illusion of the autonomy of the body." And last but not least, in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it is, you might find it on page 319, or it's chapter 15, part 7, paragraph number 12. Alrighty, here we go. The illusion of the autonomy of the body and its ability to overcome loneliness is but the working of the ego's plan to establish its own autonomy. As long as you believe that to be with a body is companionship, you will be compelled to attempt to keep your brother in his body held there by guilt. And you will see safety in guilt and danger in communication. For the ego will always teach that loneliness is solved by guilt and that communication is the cause of loneliness. And despite the evident insanity of this lesson, you have learned it. And we've learned it because we've chosen to listen to that false voice, that ego voice that tells us that we're separate, that we are limited to a body, and that I love how this first sentence, it says, the illusion of the autonomy of the body and its ability to overcome loneliness is but the working of the ego's plan to establish its own autonomy. That beginning of that sentence, just thinking about the autonomy of the body, you know, what are all the laws that we think we need to follow for the body to survive? We need to eat, right? We need water. We need whatever it may be. And actually, before we started recording the call, Brian and I were chatting just about talking about my chickens and hawks and birds of prey and really how, you know, nature, when you're seeing it through the eyes of the ego, is quite brutal. And there, to me, is an example of this illusion of the autonomy of bodies, that here are these seeming separate things that need to kill to live. Even plants, even if you're a vegetarian, you have to kill plants to live. There was some study, I remember, that my mom or stepdad told me about that showed that on a cellular level, plants scream when you cook them. So, like, how insane is it that, you know, to have this autonomy, have this, you know, separate self, that we need to kill things to survive? That's just madness. So that came forward for me thinking about this idea of the autonomy of the body, where what we're learning is that, again, we're completely, completely dependent on God. And this idea of this belief in a separate self, although we have learned this lesson, as it says, we've seemingly learned this lesson of separation, it's totally false. And as we learn to allow these blocks to be undone in our own mind, our right-minded perception gets restored. We start getting these glimpses that come forward. So I'll pause there. Does anybody have anything that came up so far in this first paragraph?
Well, just that second to last sentence, for the ego will always teach that loneliness is solved by guilt and that communication is the cause of loneliness. That one I'm kind of scratching my head. I'm kind of stuck on that.
So the ego is going to teach that we can make loneliness go away by being with other bodies, by having other bodies around us, and that's how we have companionship and joy and love. And yet what the Course is teaching is that nothing can fulfill us like our love of God. Nothing else can satisfy us like, you know, the love of the Father for the Son and the Son of the Father. And so that, we could say, you know, that recognition that we are, that God is our creator, and that we love God, and that, you know, we are the Son of God, the child of God, this communication, this connection that we have within, the ego would say, no, don't go there. You know, that's going to make you lonely because it's bodies, you know, it's other people that you need. When yet, you know, what the Course is teaching is that that communication is what actually makes us happy. And again, that's the whole idea of having bodies around to keep us company when looking through the eyes of the ego. You know, it's about having bodies, and yet bodies around us, excuse me, and yet, again, when we turn our perception over to the Holy Spirit will use anything we've made on behalf of our awakening. So now the others that are around us, you know, become a means by which we can wake up because the Holy Spirit is in them too. And so, you know, it's not saying that you need to not worry about ever having, like, you shouldn't want people around you and you should just want to go, you know, within to God. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that, you know, through the eyes of the ego, ego would teach that to not be lonely, you need to have other bodies around you. And holding those people to their bodies is what it's talking about with the piece about guilt, because Does that help, Brian?
Yeah, because the ego doesn't, as I'm listening to you, the ego doesn't even come close. It's like,
no.
It doesn't even come close.
Yeah. Well
said. And
it
seems to struggle. It tries to punish you. And it's like, wait a minute, you're kidding me here. This is, you're not even close.
Right, right, not even close. Not even close. I like that. Anybody else have anything come up? Any insights that have arisen or questions?
I guess that comes up for me is like when you read the part about, you know, the ego teaching about the autonomy of the body. For me, what comes up is the ego will always teach that you need to define yourself by the proximity of relationships or bodies. You know, I'm whole if I am married, or I'm whole or lovable if my parents approve of me, or, you know, fill in the blank basically with any relationship that's out there. I'm whole and lovable if I fulfill my role in the family, you know, if I act a certain way or do a certain thing. And then when it talks about, you know, us being afraid to communicate because the ego will want us to believe that communication is the cause for loneliness, that makes me think of, like, the other part of the course where it references no private thoughts, and how if we are willing to take everything to the Holy Spirit, that somehow we won't be safe anymore. But then, you know, the willingness to just let everything be open, so you're not trying to please any body out there. You're willing to take every situation that comes up to the Holy Spirit. That is, you know, in a sense, the world's teaching is we're becoming extremely vulnerable then, but Spirit is saying we're actually safe to do that, and that's what makes us truly happy. So I don't know, that's what comes up for me.
Oh, Deidre, beautiful. That was such a valuable, valuable addition in adding those awesome points. Yeah. I appreciate that. Fabulous. Let's read the next paragraph. Forgiveness lies in communication as surely as damnation lies in guilt. It is the Holy Spirit's teaching function to instruct those who believe that communication is damnation, that communication is salvation. And he will do so, for the power of God in him and you is joined in real relationship, so holy and so strong that it can overcome even this without fear. It is through the holy instant that what seems impossible is accomplished, making it evident that it is not impossible. In the holy instant, guilt holds no attraction, since communication has been restored. And guilt, whose only purpose is to disrupt communication, has no function here. What really jumps out at me is that middle sentence, it is through the holy instant that what seems impossible is accomplished, making it evident that it is not impossible. There have been a couple times throughout my journey where I've just felt like, you know, whatever situation it was, or whatever fear it was or anxiety it was, it felt like a massive block, like just like so almost just immovable, you know, just like a block of fear that I was just never going to get through, that was just never going to shift. And this sentence, it's through the holy instant that what seems impossible is accomplished. You know, I've had some experiences where in that holy instant, I, you know, just that recognition that like there's no big stone there, you know, it was just all an illusion, all a mistake. So that sentence really jumps out at me. Other insights or questions so far about this paragraph? It's really funny, Deidre, in the next paragraph, it says something about private thoughts, which you just brought up. So I'm going to keep reading. I love that. Here there is no concealment and no private thoughts. The willingness to communicate attracts communication to it and overcomes loneliness completely. There is complete forgiveness here, for there is no desire to exclude anyone from your completion in sudden recognition of the value of his part in it. In the protection of your wholeness, all are invited and made welcome. And you understand that your completion is God's, whose only need is to have you be complete. For your completion makes you his in your awareness. I want to read that sentence again. For your completion makes you his in your awareness. And here it is that you experience yourself as you are created and as you are. That's awesome. Deidre, I love that you brought that up, and then boom. There it is.
Must have been spirit talking through me. So.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know what I'm going to say before I start talking. So. I don't think about it. I just open my mouth.
Yep. I love it. I love it. that second to last sentence that I reread, and I'll just want to read the last two again. For your completion makes you his in your awareness, and it is here that you experience yourself as you are created and as you are. Those last sentences to me just really reinforce the idea that nothing, reality hasn't changed. We haven't changed a thing by just sort of, dabbling in this crazy dream, thinking that we're these separate selves and that we have all this growth to do and all these things to overcome and all these obstacles. It's all done already. This, I just love that sense where it says, for your completion makes you his in your awareness. Not in his awareness, but in your awareness, because in his awareness, nothing has ever changed. So it's just our awareness of our wholeness that is restored, because it's, like it goes on to say, it's how we were created and it's what we are right now. We are completely whole, completely safe, completely joyous. We're all those things right now. We just have chosen to forget it.
Now, I have a little example.
Please.
Okay. The second sentence, the willingness to communicate attracts communication to it and overcomes loneliness completely. All right, now here's my example, right? My rest of my family is away this weekend. So there's Brian, sitting at home, and the ego is starting to take off. So I decide to go for a walk out in the woods. And what's interesting is that, I was feeling lonely. I'm not afraid to admit it because, your family's away, you're by yourself and whatever. So I'm out walking, and it's the most peculiar thing. I must have seen maybe 12 or 15 different people, some in couples, some by themselves. Almost all of them had dogs. And normally, I'm not sure I always say things to people when I'm out hiking or walking or whatever, but each one, I said something to them. And as I spoke with them, it was phenomenal. First of all, it was a beautiful day with colors everywhere, and I'm just walking, right? And I see these people. Now, once again, normally, I wouldn't really have the willingness to communicate. But I took a step forward, and I spoke to each one. And I tried to find something that they would talk about, like their dog. And it was just fabulous. I just, the whole issue of overcoming loneliness and kind of stepping beyond the ego, it just, I felt like I was metamorphosized or whatever the word is, And I came away from that experience not feeling lonely. I guess that's my message.
Wow.
So.
That's beautiful, Brian. So beautiful. Just that. Oh, I love that difference in you where you just had that, that urge to connect, that urge to join and joined and connected with these, these strangers and these people in the woods and having that authentic encounter and walking away from that, not feeling lonely. How beautiful.
That's right. And as I would walk, I'd get to these sections where I could see for hundreds of yards and there was nobody. But for some reason, I didn't feel lonely. You know the difference? So that was just my little story.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You know, that with the sentence that you highlighted, that you said before you shared, you know, the willingness to communicate attracts communication to it. That, you know, that willingness to, however you want to say it, to join with another, to have that authentic, you know, experience with another, to see the Holy Spirit in another, and, you know, however we want to word it. I feel like your example is a beautiful example of that sentence. That's awesome.
Yes, something.
I went up to a mega this weekend on a just for rest and relaxation, and I watched. There were a lot of people there too, because they had one of these sustainable living seminars with Ralph Nader. So there were a lot of people there, and I really wanted to just relax. So I was hesitant to get into too much conversation, but there's almost a standoffishness at times that I experience, and I don't really know what that's about. But it's always whenever you connect with somebody, you know, it's always so delightful. So I don't know why I get that way at times.
I know for me, I can relate to that, Paula, because I've been at Omega, like I've been in, you know, similar things where you go away. And I know for me, I'm very, very introverted. I really like being quiet, and it's hard for me, I think, initially to step out of that comfort zone and just strike up conversation with somebody. But like you're saying, it is lovely, you know, when it happens. But I think you don't even have to worry about it, or, you know, there's not a right way to be. Just give it to the Holy Spirit and let it be what it is, and maybe that alone time is exactly, you know, exactly what you needed.
Yeah. I was at least trying to just be clearer in my mind when it was more of an ego situation, or if I was, because sometimes I'm just tired.
Right.
Neither. I just need to be quiet and rest. But it's hard in a situation like that, because you don't want to seem antisocial or anything. So I don't know. But it really did turn out to be a delightful time.
Oh, good. You reminded me. Oh, I'm sorry. Deidre,
go ahead.
Go
ahead.
Jump in.
There's something that David Hoffmeister teaches goes along with the no private thoughts thing, and it's something that he has in like his mantra for the Miracle Center that he's part of, that there's no people pleasing, because he says people pleasing, no matter what form it takes, is guilt. He says no matter how much of a little bit of poison is there, it's still poison. And if you buy into the idea of people pleasing, then it's guilt.
I absolutely, totally agree with that. Totally.
Yeah. It just came to mind when you were talking about, you know, you don't want to do anything to make, you know, seem like you're unkind or whatever. But I say, you know, just honor yourself wherever you're at.
Yes.
And if you don't feel like talking to people, then don't talk to people.
You're absolutely on target there.
Yeah. So that's all.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So helpful. It's perfect. Anybody else before we move on? We're starting a new section. Okay, let's dive in. The Holy Instant and Real Relationships, and that's what the subheading is in the Sparkle and Original Edition, and in the Foundation for Inner Peace, it's the only real relationship. The Holy Instant does not replace the need for learning, for the Holy Spirit must not leave you as your teacher until the Holy Instant has extended far beyond time. For a teaching assignment such as his, he must use everything in this world for your release. He must side with every sign or token of your willingness to learn of him what the truth must be. He is swift to utilize whatever you offer him on behalf of this. His concern and care for you are limitless. In the face of your fear of forgiveness, which he perceives as clearly as he knows forgiveness is release, he will teach you to remember that forgiveness is not loss, but your salvation. And that in complete forgiveness, in which you recognize that there is nothing to forgive, you are absolved completely. What comes up for me in that paragraph is just an enormous amount of gratitude for the Holy Spirit, because how can, I mean, if I was in charge of of this task, you know, the teaching assignment, surely, you know, I'd blow it, because we haven't made up our mind, because we waver between, again, having, you know, a foot in the Holy Spirit's camp and a foot in the ego's camp. The Holy Spirit is completely, unwaveringly clear as to what the truth is, will not and has not ever forgotten that truth, and yet, like it says, can still perceive what it is that we see, and so can therefore, because, you know, the Holy Spirit has not forgotten the truth and cannot forget the truth, is how, you know, the Holy Spirit is our guide back home. So I have just a lot of gratitude come forward in my heart when I was reading this paragraph. Let's see the next paragraph. Hear him, and please, anybody jump in if you have anything to add. I'll just keep going. Hear him gladly and learn of him that you have no, excuse me, hear him gladly and learn of him that you have need of no special relationships at all. You but seek in them what you have thrown away. And through them you will never learn the value of what you have cast aside, but what you still desire with all your hearts. Let us join together in making the holy instant all that there is by desiring that it be all that there is. God's Son has such great need of your willingness to strive for this that you cannot conceive of need so great. Behold the only need that God and his Son share and will to meet together. You are not alone in this. The will of your creations calls to you to share your will with them. Turn then in peace from guilt to God and them. I'll rather than saying something first, I just want to pause. Has anybody had anything come up so far? Any questions or insights that have arisen?
That line, let us join together in making the holy instant all that there is by desiring that it be all that there is. So that's the, oh man, that's really challenging, to be in that holy instant, every instant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is that the quest? Am I reading that right? Am I understanding
well,
that?
Well, the second part of the sentence, we can't, you know, make the holy instant all that there is right now because of this, you know, the wavering that we do. It's the second part of that sentence, by desiring that it be all that there is. So we have to want it. So in wanting it, we have to also be very honest with ourselves where we don't want it, you know, where we still desire separateness, where we still enjoy being these separate selves. And so to me, that sentence speaks to the fact that if I am not desiring that the holy instant be all that there is, what is it that I'm putting first? You know, what is it that I'm making more of a priority? And it's the separation. It's you know, desiring this, you know, enjoying playing this character of Corinne or, you know, fill in your name. So in acknowledging that, you know, I don't have to feel guilty for that. I don't have to do anything about it except be willing to give that to the Holy Spirit or look at it with the Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. So there's no guilt in that. It's about, you know, just being honest with where we are. That's what comes up for me.
That
does anybody
feels
have
really
anything
good.
Else to, okay. Does anybody else have anything to add for this particular sentence? Or Paula, that did help?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and of course, underneath that is the, you know, living in the present, right now, this moment.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, Corinne, when you open the session and you go, you know, a tranquil, open mind. That just gets me. That is such a goal. That I think is where we want to be.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. That what I say at that that point in our meditations is the very last lesson in the workbook.
Oh.
I'll read it, actually. I just opened up to it. It's, this holy instant would I give to you. Be you in charge, for I would follow you, certain that your direction gives me peace. If I need a word to help me, he will give it to me. If I need a thought, that will he also give. And if I need but stillness and a tranquil, open mind, these are the gifts I will receive of him. He is in charge by my request, and he will hear and answer me because he speaks for God my Father and his Holy Son. There might be slight editing in the FIP edition, but there it is. Like, there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that tranquil, open mind. That's what we're defending against. This is like the insanity of the whole thing, that when we touch, when we touch that, that's what we've been defending against. That's what we're afraid of. We're afraid of that peace. We're afraid of that love. And it's so crazy and it's so insane. And yet that is what we're afraid of, because we're afraid if we, you know, if we let go of the madness that we've come to know, we're afraid that we're going to just be, you know, lose
but
our identity, just, you know, nothingness.
We're more
Corinne,
comfortable with the chaos. That's what,
we're
yeah.
more comfortable with the chaos. Yep. Yep.
Oh, the simplicity of it all is, all right, I'm at Omega. There's all of these people. Oh, they're so intelligent and having, you know, activists for sustainable living and all. And, you know, I'm listening to all this and it's like getting real complicated. And then I'm feeling like, oh, my God. This is so worldly, and it all seems so important. And the Course in Miracles is so the opposite of all of that craziness.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I honestly, and here, this is a spiritual center that I'm in, so now it really seems like it should be important.
mm-hmm.
I couldn't wait to get the hell out of there. I couldn't wait to get back in my, you know, in my nice, peaceful world, because it didn't feel peaceful to me.
Uh-huh.
And there were great intentions there, you know, great, good mm-hmm. intentions.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think that what we read last week, communication with the Holy Spirit is the answer to everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The environment.
And
relationships,
yeah, absolutely,
everything.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And there's nothing chaotic about it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why this is coming up at the moment, but I'm just going to share it because it pertains to how I mentioned when Brian and I were chatting before the call, just about, you know, how nature is brutal. I was watching one of those survival shows, and it showed on TV them killing an animal, you know, to survive, and yet to survive was for this entertainment, like for this show. And looking through the eyes of the ego, I was just really, really upset. And I turned, I stopped finally and paused and turned to the Holy Spirit and went back to that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me. And I'm going to just paraphrase the rest of it, but like, if I look at that, if Corinne looks at that, I will see it as a sign of sin and death and use it for destruction. I'll use it for judgment. I'll use it for guilt, lots of guilt. And so then there, with that prayer, take this from me and look upon it, judging it for me, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to show me the truth instead. And I got, it was a fleeting moment of an answer that came, you know, into my awareness. And then I think because I just was sort of fixated on, you know, what my eyes had seen, it left. And yet I still remember just of the fact that, you know, the same way that we wake up from a nightmare at night and it's like, oh, that was just a dream. Like that's what this is, that this is, you know, just that nightmare. And so we're learning that, like you said, Paula, this is what's coming up, is just that it's the relationship with the Holy Spirit that matters. It's our turning to the Holy Spirit that matters.
It's everything.
It is everything. It's everything.
And that, by the way, that phrase,
yes.
What you just, take this from me and look upon it for me, judging it for me. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Ever since you brought that up last week, the entire week in all these situations, I keep going to it. It is so incredibly helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if we're looking at it ourselves,
it stops you from looking at it yourself.
It does. It does. But I'm saying if we don't call on the Holy Spirit and we look at it by ourselves, there we are again, sitting on the banister railing and sliding right down, like boom, you know, hitting the bottom. So that, you know, looking at it by ourselves, we're going to see the conflict, the lack of peace, you know, the witnesses for sin and death. It's like you're saying, the Holy Spirit is everything. We don't have to look at it alone. And I just want to highlight, too, the first sentence that we read, hear him gladly and learn of him that you have need of no special relationships at all. How cool is that? That we can learn of the Holy Spirit that we have need of no special relationships at all. So every substitute that we've made for God, we're learning of the Holy Spirit that we have no need of them whatsoever. And then it goes on to say, you but seek in them what you have thrown away. So again, what we seek in anything, you know, special is what we already have, but we've thrown it away, and so we're looking for it elsewhere. But in a way that we think would keep the separation going. So how joyous that this is all just a big mistake. how about we read the next paragraph? Relate only with what will never leave you and what you can never leave. The loneliness of God's Son is the loneliness of his Father. Refuse not the awareness of your completion and seek not to restore it to yourselves. Fear not to give redemption over to your Redeemer's love. He will not fail you, for he comes from one who cannot fail. Accept your sense of failure as nothing more than a mistake in who you are. For the holy host of God is beyond failure, and nothing that he wills can be denied. You are forever in a relationship so holy that it calls to everyone to escape from loneliness and join you in your love. And where you are, must everyone seek and find you there. I want to pause before I say anything. Does anybody have anything that's come up for you with this paragraph? Any sentences that stand out? Any insights or examples? Okay, I'll share what stands out for me. where it says in the third sentence, refuse not the awareness of your completion and seek not to restore it to yourselves. So there again is another reminder that we can't fix an ego thought system from within the ego. We can't restore love's awareness by our own will. We need the Holy Spirit. We need that thought system outside of ours. So that sentence jumped out at me. And then I also love the sentence, a couple sentences after that. Accept your sense of failure as nothing more than a mistake in who you are. So whenever you think that something isn't going your way or something didn't work out or you're not doing a good job, that is just another case of mistaken identity. It's nothing more than a mistake in who you are. So that sense of failure can only come from the sense of thinking that you're a separate self. What was that, Brian?
So is it okay to make a mistake?
Absolutely.
I mean,
absolutely.
I know the answer, but I've mentioned this before, and forgive me, but I know that we're all perfectionists. That's my problem. I mean, when you look at relationships and learning to love God and everything that you do, it's so easy to make mistakes and to look backwards. And to me, this came up in the previous paragraph, that, you know, guilt about the past and fear of the future. And to me, that has ego all over it, you know? And I'm looking at that, and it's like, those are mistakes, mistaken thought.
Yeah.
And it gets back, not to come back on what we were just talking about, like the holy instant, right now. And many people have focused on that whole thing. Live now. Cut it out with all the past and the future and all. And that's such a beautiful goal, you know, to live now in the holy instant. So that's just me, you know.
Yeah. And so the part of us, I'm so glad that you brought that up about, you know, how we're all perfectionists, that the part of us that wants to get it right, that like, you know, like, let me live in the holy instant right now. Like, I have to do this, you know, like that part of us that has that, that desire that we're, I know where I'm laughing because we can identify with this, right? Like, that is just another little sneaky way that, you know, that false voice, the belief in the ego just is trying to come along for the ride. And so we, as Paula always says, we can't get it wrong. We have nothing. We're going to make mistakes all the time. And the beauty of the course is that this is all a mistake. Like, this whole idea of a world and an idea of a separate self is just a mistake, and mistakes can be corrected, and we let them be corrected by our turning to the Holy Spirit and asking, you know, for the other way, for it to see things, to see things differently. So when that perfectionistic tendency gets in there, like, I have to make this happen, like, you know, now, like, I need to see the holy instant right now, we don't have to feel guilty about that. We don't even have to do anything to fix that or, you know, to self-correct. We just have to see it, just know that that's what's happening and say, oh, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to look at this with you too, because there's that little perfectionistic voice popping up again. So that's the beauty of this, is that we don't even have to, like, try to, like, stuff down or self-monitor that perfectionistic part. Like, we don't have to self-correct anything. It's about letting that thought system outside of our thought system in to make the correction for us. So we can make as many mistakes as we will and need to on our journey, and we don't have to worry about a thing. All we have to worry about is turning to the Holy Spirit or remembering, you know, whatever we do. It doesn't even have to be in the moment.
I think, too, those
we
words,
get it wrong.
Like, mistake and sin and all of those words we use imply guilt. And the Holy Spirit is basically saying, like, hey, there's no guilt here. We don't even need to use those words. You know?
Yeah.
You don't even have to think of it in terms of mistakes, because no matter what happens, everything is forgiven.
Yeah, yes. Beautiful.
So, yeah. Just
beautiful.
Remembering
that.
Boy, I'll tell you
that. I absolutely love that.
The ego has so much resistance to that. Because now I'm with some people this weekend, and I watch this. I watch this dynamic, you know. And really, I was so grateful to at least be in a place where I could be the observer of my thoughts. Because the ego just gets in there and hammers, you know, and tries to make it's them guilty of something. I saw it so much this weekend, and it's like, I just really had a wonderful time because I would not allow it.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah, that desire to make another guilty can be really,
and make another
really
person
subtle,
guilty.
Like we've been, yeah, it's really subtle.
Because you
want
to
really
be right about something, you know? It's
yep,
always that
yep.
wanting to be right. And it's like,
yep.
no, not doing it. God. Not guilty.
Not guilty. Not guilty. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Amen to that.
Yes, amen.
But mm-hmm. there's that that temptation is just so frustrating.
Mm-hmm. The minute you start thinking, oh, I better correct that, it's that sneaky correction.
Yeah.
I love what you shared, Corinne, when you did that Google Hangout about self-correcting, because that has stayed with me and it's been super helpful.
What did I say? I don't remember.
Something that we don't need to worry about self-correcting. Like, we don't even have
okay.
to go there.
Right.
It's a waste
right.
of energy.
Yeah, it really is. And self-correcting, just as an example, is like, you know, oh, I just had this negative thought, let me fix that and think a positive thought instead. You know, yeah, but we don't have to.
Yeah,
we
don't have
to
do all that work.
Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
Like, recently, I've still, like, I've let go of the whole thing that happened with JFK, and I'm at peace with that, but there's still this piece of me that feels like I'd like to go to school for counseling. And so then it's like, I've been going to spirits for, like, where do you want me to go? Like, guide me, show me the way, right? And so I've been looking at all these options. And then what happens is the brain gets going and it's like, should I go here or should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? And it was making me feel very uncomfortable, even up until the last couple of days. And yesterday or today, I was just like, I need to stop doing this because it's not helping. It's not, you know, it's not making me feel joyful. So I just decided, I sat in meditation this morning and I said, I'm giving this to you now, Spirit. I'm trusting that I will be shown the way. Whatever that way is, it doesn't even matter to me where I go to school or what happens. Maybe I won't go to school. Maybe I will do something else. I actually don't know. But I'm just willing to be shown, and I have stopped thinking about it. And I needed to get to that point on my own, not on my own, but with Spirit. I needed to get to that point where I was able to say, like, I'm willing to be shown. What that means is I'm going to follow through on everything that I'm presented, but I'm not going to be like, oh, I have to go here, or, oh, I have to do this, or, oh, my God, what if I make a mistake? You know, that was a big part of it. Like, what if I start going on the track and I find out that I've put all this effort in and it's not really, you know, what I want to be doing, you know? And I was like, after meditating this morning, I was just like, that is ridiculous, because I was looking at it only from the ego identity. You know, I was only looking at it from, like, what could go wrong, and I wasn't allowing Spirit to come in. I was only looking at it from a fear place. And so I don't know anything about what will happen, it may be that I'm exactly on the right path and I am looking at the right school and program, or it may be that I'll be directed somewhere else, but I'm letting go of the reins finally. And it's just
beautiful.
A relief.
You know, I don't think we really know what we want. I've been down this road so many times where I really think I know what I want, and then when I get there, I don't really want it. So God really knows what. It really is letting go and letting Him lead us.
Yep.
He knows what we need.
You guys, the funny thing is that I'm not working at the moment. Like, I have my Spirit Wings business, but I don't always have clients every single day. So I'm doing that, and I'm doing other things. But my mom found this Craigslist ad of someone looking for some help, and it was the person was looking for help with their social media for a book that they'd written. And they said in their ad that they were a mystic. So I was like, well, what are the chances on Craigslist of all places that, you know, I'd find someone who's totally in alignment with A Course in Miracles? Her and her husband are both students. She's written two books that are course-based. And I'll be helping promote her work on social media. It's just hilarious. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, Deidre, that's so funny. I mean, I just see, there's something in me that sees the humor in it. Like, we don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
You know, like, Craigslist. Yeah. My goodness, Craigslist.
Craigslist. Yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
And we were chuckling about it because they were hesitant to hire someone because they wanted someone that understood the integrity of the work and the teaching work, right? And it's like, so they read my letter and started laughing because in it I'm saying, you know, I'm a medium, I'm, you know, an angel intuitive, and I'm a Course in Miracles student, and I've, you know, volunteered at such and such, and they're like, how perfect is this? So, yeah, it's pretty funny.
Oh, wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's perfect. That is so perfect.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel, since we have a minute left, that this is a good place to stop. So, Deidre, as I'm just sort of still just loving your story, my eyes are resting on the first sentence of the paragraph we just read, relate only with what will never leave you and what you can never leave. That's all we have to worry about is, and I don't even like using the word worry. That's all we have to do is just relate with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Today I was like, you know, this morning I was like, I've been totally looking at this wrong and I'm willing to let Spirit interpret it for me. And what I got was, you know, if I meant to do formal counseling training, I'll be shown the way. And the way I'll know how it feels is, you know, if doors are opening for me, then I can just walk through them. I don't need to make anything open. I don't need to control anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to allow them to open. Whatever it may be.
Awesome. Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you, DG. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Carla. Thanks, everybody. Bye, everyone. And
bye.
We'll reconvene next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you all.
Love you, too.